terrible news, everyone. We have stopped doing Staple Together podcast, and we are now doing a band cast.
Yes.
For a new band called A Minor Character. All of our songs are in A minor. So let's hit it.
Jumbotron TV's always on. Phone's ringing and it must be your mom. Sun goes down in the quarantine town. As you can see, there's nobody around. Take it, Jimbo.
I quit.
What? You can't quit.
I quit the band.
But you were the bass.
Yeah.
And backup vocals and...
Drums.
All of everything.
Staple Together Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Staple Together Podcast. The not so comic book release week of April 1st.
Yeah.
I am Sudon.
I am Peachy.
And I'm Ooze.
And that is Buddy upstairs.
Yeah.
And yeah.
He makes squeaking noises.
He makes the floor squeak.
So yeah, like, this is really weird. We don't really have comics, so we're gonna do this differently.
Yeah.
As you might have heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're gonna jump into the news.
No news is like good news, it's like bad news, it's like news.
With Peachy.
Pointing at the mic stand. Then I was like, hey Peachy, go for it.
Alright, well, this week, There's actually been a lot going on as far as, like, movie cancellation, postponements, and stuff. A lot of news, actually, in the pop culture world. My news this week pertains to the third Spider-Man film that was supposed to start filming this summer has itself been delayed or postponed indefinitely at this point. Which is what I was looking forward to, but if I'm able to understand it correctly, they had another movie from Sony that they wanted to run concurrent with that movie as well, and that kind of put a damper on both of their plans. So we'll see what's going on with that. Maybe in the Spider-Man fan that I am, I just kind of that's where my attention went in the news. But that's really all I have.
It's not unexpected, though, in this situation.
Not at all.
It's like,
it's a bummer.
Yeah.
They took our Star Wars. They've taken our Jurassic World, and they've now taken our Spider-Man.
And Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. Ghostbusters and Morbius both got pushed to next year.
I'm sad about Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I was actually looking forward to Morbius.
Morbius is, I'm curious, its connection to the MCU.
Oh.
Yeah. My news is, you know what didn't get postponed? Rick and Morty.
Nice.
It's coming out May 3rd, the last half of the season, I think, because we only got five episodes.
Five.
At the beginning of the year, which we powered through, and I'm very excited, and I love Rick and Morty, and, it looks amazing, as always.
I was saying this earlier, I'm like, I'd laugh if, like, they have 65 more episodes, including these next ones, but, like, they just conclude Rick and Morty in the next 5 episodes, and the next 60 episodes are just, like, episode variety episodes.
Yeah, they're just, clip episodes. What are they called?
Yeah, clip shows?
No,
the multiversal...
Yeah, multi...
interdimensional cable.
Yes, interdimensional cable, 5 through... 70. That'd be great, but
each
also
each episode's just like a half hour long of like somebody on a couch watching
Rick and Morty. And
that's what they turn into Cartoon Network.
That'd be great.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. I don't even care. I just want more Rick and Morty. For sure. Bambi was upset about the little like samurai clip that they had put out, the like 5 minute random animated short that they put out.
They've been doing a lot of like weird little shorts, and this one was the longer one of the shorts, and I liked it.
Yeah, it was funny. It was Rick and Morty, but also samurai.
Samurai. Yeah, I really appreciate the person that brought my attention to that show. It's such a good show.
You're welcome. I'm not the H word.
Awesome.
For sure.
What you got, Suda?
Along with all the craziness in the world, we are obviously feeling this pinch in this podcast, and DC recently announced that they were the first of all the publishers really to kind of say anything, that they're looking for alternate avenues. Today there were releases of DC Digitals, Batman Justice League, well not Batman, Justice League, and a few other like dark and side titles, like 16 titles came out, but...
Oh, 16?
Yeah, like...
I thought it was less than that.
They were like a lot of like the trade paperback came out too. They were like the digital version of them.
That's right. But I did see something.
Wait, no. I need to know. Did Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen come out for trade?
No, Lois Lane came out today. Lois Lane digital.
I almost just flipped the table.
The Lois Lane trade.
The Lois Lane new issue. That just was supposed to be out today.
What?
Yeah, they released that one digitally.
But no trade for Jimmy or Lois.
I didn't see the trade list. I did not look at that too deeply. But they did release Lois Lane and Justice League, which I read. And it reads Lois Lane from the heavy breathing you can hear.
I'm very upset. I want Lois Lane.
It's...
Break down and do the digis.
No!
No!
It's just, I'm even going, I do digitals, but I'm not even going to go and buy the digital because I want the hard copy.
Exactly.
Yeah, same.
I love all of the covers for Lois Lane, so I feel like that'd be like a stab in the chest.
Right. I have very few digitals of comics that I don't physically own.
Right. DC is looking for alternative methods to get there. They do have, like, most of the developers and most are publishers released through Diamond Comics or Diamond Publishers or whatever they call themselves. They ceased distribution, which is why we're feeling that pinch.
Yeah, as we had mentioned last week.
Yeah, and then Marvel proceeded to also announce what they're doing, which is...
Nothing.
They're not releasing digitals. They're looking at ideas and seeing, watching the as it transpires, but they're kind of going, well, we're not doing that. We have plans for stories, but we're adjusting it accordingly. Boom, IGN. IGN.
They make comics now?
IDW, Image, and all these other smaller are, of course, following suit. They don't have the power to really seek out different, distributors, so who knows what's going to happen. If anything, DC will maybe open the door for making it easier. Because you know how bottleneck Diamond kind of puts on some comic book companies and comic book stores, so like maybe this will kind of be like other alternate avenues to get things.
Yeah.
New variant type stuff that might happen. But it still kind of sucks. And we're kind of like, when are we going to get our comics?
Yeah.
All right, well, that ends our news.
Yeah, fast news today.
Very fast, quick fire. So, since there is no new comics, we have a consistent level of backlog of comics that we cannot get through or don't get a chance to necessarily talk about on the podcast.
Yeah, perfect time to do that.
So we're going ahead and we're going to talk about some of our older stories and stuff like that to kind of fill in the time. I suggested a romance novel, but that got turned down.
Okay, so we don't have any stores that we can go purchase romance novels from? I'm sorry, I don't want your mom's romance collection. I'm so sorry.
Got a pretty in-depth romance section, from what I hear.
For who does?
Target.
I disagree, but...
I mean Walmart, I'm sorry.
Walmart, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Barnes & Noble.
My best friend also has an in-depth romance collection, so could have asked her, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a plethora of them online that we could have, like, Spider-Man.
Well, I was gonna also suggest what we could do, like, fanfics.
Yeah, nice.
And just read them aloud, because Game Grumps did that for Sonic.
That's great.
But I don't know, like, the logistics of it, like, if we have to say the people's names, because we don't own anything, and then it could get really bad, and I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you are.
So this week we're going to go ahead and talk about some older books.
Comic book review.
It's a comic book review.
That's what it is.
Peachy, what do you got for us?
A while back in a gift exchange, I think the only gift exchange I've ever been involved in, I received a couple of trades. One of which was the Arkham Asylum trade. Don't remember exactly who wrote or what year that was out. Oh yeah, that was that trade. Yeah, he showed a suit on earlier. It was Grant Morrison book, and then Superman Red Son, which I mean I've had for years at this point and had not read.
I thought you got that recently. It just came out recently of wherever you had it. Okay.
Yeah, it was. I thought I'd lost it, and it appeared on the shelves. But it's an older book. I don't remember exactly what year this was. I'm not seeing it right away. 2011.
Those are different times, man.
Yeah. 2011 was when this one, it was relatively new at the time that I got it, I think.
Right.
But I hadn't read it. It's been forever, and it was definitely, I enjoyed it. This was written by Mark Millar.
Mark Millar.
Yeah.
It's Mark Millar.
I thought it said Frank Miller. I was like, wait, are you saying Frank Miller?
No, I'm saying Mark Millar.
Mark Millar, like my brain read it wrong.
Yeah, no, and pencils were done by Dave Johnson and Killian Plunkett. Inks were done by Andrew Robinson and Wayne Wong. And Paul Mount did the color. In this, it was different than what I had expected. I expected kind of an evil Superman or whatever.
Yes, because America has trained you to think that Soviets are evil.
My childhood for sure, the 80s, mm-hmm. man. Woo! But, I really enjoyed it. It was very well done. The art was great. A lot of neutral tones. A lot of, like grays and stuff like that and whatever to give it kind of an old-timey look. The book started in, I think, 1938.
Okay.
The story, excuse me, started in 1938.
It took a long time to finish.
Yeah.
It came out in 2011?
Yeah. I think that's where it went through, and went through that and beyond, actually.
Oh.
There was a weird kind of bouncing back and forth between points in time, but just to show similarities between points in time,
right.
Show how history repeats itself or whatever, something of that nature. But, I was really impressed with Lex Luthor. You know, he did really great things. Yeah, he did a lot of really, really good things. And at one point, he rid the planet of disease and extended life like 1,000%. At first, he was just this professor guy that, a doctor, whatever guy that wanted to help the planet and do whatever, super genius, super high intelligence level.
So Lex Luthor.
Yeah, yeah. And then they asked him to they asked him to come up with an idea to get rid of Superman. Because Superman was a Soviet weapon, Lex Luthor lives in the U.S.
Right.
His wife is Lois Lane. It's crazy, and she's deadly loyal to him, and, like, crazy. A lot of weird stuff, a lot of differences, also a lot of similarities, a lot of comparisons and parallels, whatever. It was a lot better than I thought it would be.
Batman.
Yeah. Batman was in it.
Soviet Batman.
He's crazy.
Yeah, he's pretty great. I dug it.
He had the Joker vibe to him, but then he was still Bats. It's a good book.
I've been
eagerly excited for you to read this for a very long time.
Yeah, I've had it by my bed because I've been meaning to, read it before I go to bed, but that's not a thing I do, so I don't know what the hell ever possessed
me. You're like, maybe I'll start.
Yeah.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, not a bad idea, but I do want to see the animated movie that came out recently.
Give it a compare.
Yeah, give it a compare, and also I'm going to, I think next week I may be reading Punisher Soviet and seeing what parallels I can find there, if any, and, compare and contrast kind of thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Then you should read Coldest Winter and Coldest City, which are what Atomic Blonde is based off
of. Oh, really?
Because it's all Berlin in the 80s.
Oh, nice.
And 70s.
70s, but, 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to fall back after I read that Punisher Soviet on Punisher Platoon, which I think is the last Punisher Max series that was out.
Oh, yeah. Before Soviet, because Soviet's now Max.
Yeah.
Nice.
For sure.
Pretty neat. Yeah, that's a nice one. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have for us there, Miss Chicken?
That is my last name.
Yeah.
Actually, that's my middle name. My last name is 185.
Okay, 185. Because 187 was taken.
It was a randomly generated name. So I have... Okay, so... Wait, before we started the podcast, PG and I had started reading the series called Throwaways.
Yes.
And he stopped getting it because we were really behind, and I continued getting it because I was like, I'm going to read it someday. Today was that day, guys. Oh,
I was just looking at those today, too. That's funny.
Because it was the same time. Because it was the same time as you were getting killed or be killed.
Yeah.
It was around that year. 3 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Crazy. So... Throwaways number 10 through 14 is what I read today, and something else, but we'll talk about that in a second. It was written by Caitlin Kittredge and art by Steven Sanders. So basically, the story of Throwaways is the main character, Dean Logan. He has these powers because he was tested on by this group called Ultra, and his father also has these powers, and he meets this girl who also has some sort of ability because she was in the military. Her name's Abby.
Huh.
She was also tested on, but they run across each other at some point. I don't remember all the details because that was 3 years ago. But also Dean has a girlfriend and her name is Kimiko and she works for the CIA. So she's, like, a tech person, and Abby's, like, the brawn, because she... Okay, so Ultra made, like, different sections of super-powered people. There's the alphas who can, like, use telekinesis and other powers, which is what Dean is. And then Abby is a beta who has, like, more, like, military abilities. She's, like, super strong and tactical.
Like
and stuff.
High performance.
Yes.
No.
All of that stuff.
What did Sam get?
And then,
She says Dean every time I've seen it. Supernatural, and I've never actually watched the show, but I don't know why.
He definitely doesn't look like Dean from Supernatural. He has a blue mohawk, which actually I'm pretty sure Jensen Ackles had a blue mohawk. It doesn't matter. But they go on the run because they're running away from Ultra.
Right.
And also Dean's dad, who is in a different section, who also wants to kill him for some reason. He's crazy.
Yeah, I barely, I somewhat remember that. I read to, 13, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's crazy.
Yes. But then, so, the main thing is that Ultra is trying to get this guy elected president, Stark. I don't know his first name. His last name's Stark. No. And they apparently don't know that he's an alpha. And then they find out that, Dean finds out that he's an alpha and that he's gonna destroy the world, basically, if they don't kill him. But he can't be killed because one of his alpha abilities is that he can regenerate. And it's super crazy.
That's kind of a Legion kind of vibe to it, for sure.
Yeah. Like getting heroes.
Both of those.
Yeah, but Heroes and Legion, yeah, I definitely.
But also, behind the scenes, military stuff. Yeah. It's crazy.
Nice.
And then, so, I knew that.
There's more?
There's so much more. So, I remember being like, okay, so 14's out. When's 15 coming out? And then 15 never came out. And I never read 14. And I looked at the very last page, and it's continued in the New World, number one. And I'm like, okay, well, now I'm getting the New World book. So how Throwaways ends is that Abby, she was a sniper for the military, right? She was a ranger, actually. She has a choice to either shoot Dean, because apparently he also helps with destroying the world, Stark, because it's his fault that the world is destroyed, or the person that's behind everything, which her name is something, Dr. Ostrander, and then it just ends. She's like, okay, I'm gonna kill one of these three people, and then it just ends. And then I read The New World number one, and it has nothing to do with anything. And I don't understand what's happening.
What the hell?
And there's four more issues, so it might be continued, in the other four issues. But this is, a thick book, too. It's,
Yeah.
The first one for The New World. It's super thick, and,
It's like a 100-pager.
I think it's, an 80-page.
Huh.
Because it has, the cardstock covers.
It's a comic book. Yeah.
No. It's a graphic novel, actually.
Trade paper.
Yeah.
For what?
For The New World. Just this.
Trade paperback for The New World.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trade the paperback.
To hope your future!
But, yeah, so The New World is about a TV show about guardians who are, police officers, but they only police people when they're on TV, and then there's people that are trying to fight against that, and that person that's trying to fight against that is gonna end up being killed by the police officers, but there's a police officer that doesn't like killing people, so she doesn't kill people. But it has zero things to do with Throwaways.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Maybe they threw them away.
And, there's no powered people or anything, and there's no mention of anyone else. One person had the same last name as Dean, and it was their first name, and I'm like, oh, maybe, and then no. Nothing.
No relation.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. So it's when the Tylers dated.
What?
When the Tylers dated. Or Taylors dated.
Taylors. The Taylors dated.
Yeah.
Swift and Lautner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I read today. And it was very confusing. Yep. And then the New World number one was written by Alex Knott. Or Alex Cott? Alice Cott? and art by Tread Moore and colors by Heather Moore. And I'm pretty sure Heather Moore did the first, like, 10 issues or first 5 issues of Throwaways. And that's how I found out that there was going to be more stuff besides the other thing. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Mostly confused.
Yeah, that's
sounds
terrible.
Like a whole lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Like, are they still Winchesters?
No. They were never Winchesters.
What?
But the thing was that Throwaways, the only reason we started getting Throwaways was because of the cover, and it was really cool, and then, like, the covers are still cool, and the story was still cool, and I was really excited to have time to actually catch up with it and read it.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, what did I just do?
The story just ended.
Yeah. What's going on? I should have read Flash.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Bambi thought you were catching up on.
See that star with a rainbow go by?
I did not.
Katie,
I'm blind. Sudan, what did you have that you read that was back? Stop. Backlog.
Well, read it in recent. I did, yes. Mm. Read it in recent, I did. I'm just going to kind of lump it all together because it's kind of a big chunk of DC board history now.
Should I get up and, like, have pictures and stream ready?
He said, like, we need to start adding stuff to it. I'm like, I don't know.
We need a printer is what we need.
We do. It's all upstairs.
It doesn't have toner. Well. Yeah, because I need to print pictures of people. Mugshots.
Or you just cut up your books.
They've already been snorted, pal. Surprise!
You don't
I
have
had...
any digitals.
Yeah.
So basically, Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah.
Superman.
That guy.
Right.
I'm not going to necessarily talk about. You know, we already know what happened in the Superman or the Man of Steel. Go back and listen.
Yep. To those episodes.
I'll have that comment down below. I'll have it in the eye. Just kidding. Wrong format. No. Basically, Bendis came in, swung around, destroyed a lot of things, ended a lot of things, and said, by the way, Krypton was destroyed by this dude named Rogal Zar.
Yep.
Right.
Put into the Phantom Zone by Superman. Trapped Zod there, who was helping Superman, and then I stopped
talking
about it.
Didn't Zod, like, willingly go?
No, he got trapped there, Superman.
Well, he went to help, and then he got stuck.
Oh.
Well, then this kind of led up into the events where it goes into Event Leviathan, which was a big Superman event that kind of took over a lot of big things in the year. But it crossed between Action Comics, which was Superman,
which is Superman,
and then Supergirl, which is Supergirl.
Right. I had no idea.
Right. Thanks for clearing that up.
And then also the 6-issue miniseries Event Leviathan,
right.
But it also went into Green Arrow. Who cares?
No one.
Red Arrow, or he's dead. Red Hood.
But not really.
Lois Lane, and a lot of different things. And what was cool, like, the storyline is so many different pieces, but it told an over arc that kind of came together. In the Superman, we had the Superman dealing with John having returned and suddenly 7-8 years older, you know. Mm. And then the Legion of Superheroes taking him away. You know, his father took him away, came back aged. Well, craziness occurred, you know.
Right.
And I don't know if I actually wanted to talk about what John ended up. He ended up in another multiverse on another planet, Earth, or another Earth, where... the evil syndicate, the criminal crime syndicate, so basically Ultraman, all those bad versions of our heroes were controlling.
Right, right.
He basically got captured, you know, there. Ultraman abused him mentally, but ended up abusing himself in the way before John escaped and was able to be saved by his father.
Who helps him out? You told me. It was Crypto.
Crypto, yeah.
He's a good dog.
Crypto is a good dog. Crypto helps out everybody. The writing is done by Bendis, but a lot of different artists who go across the board. I won't mention any of them because
there are a lot of them.
But in the Supermania, John goes with the Legion to the future, and that's kind of where I stopped reading Superman because I was getting into the event Leviathan, and which pretty much is the dissolving of all the big clandestine organization.
Huh.
So Argus, Spiral, the Department of Extranormal Defense.
Checkmate exists anymore.
Checkmate. They did all these different pillars of organizations, which Jimmy Olsen was like, no, I was not a part of that one. Yeah. Apparently, he's a spy for every organization.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he's the world's greatest super spy.
He is.
I'm like, Jimmy?
I love Jimmy Olsen.
In the book pretty heavily.
It kind of crosses in between.
If Jimmy Olsen's in it. Sorry.
He's big into it, too. Like, he's always there. He's loving a lizard lady who's part of the lizard terrorist group, which gets wiped out.
Oh.
But the whole story basically leads to them finding out that this one guy who is a manhunter.
Right.
One of the original manhunters from Green Lantern fame. Had pretty much put everybody under one mantle. I've spoken about that on a previous, but it was kind of cool and kind of see where that's going to lay the future. This one guy's like, well, I wanted Superman to be a part of this, but he doesn't want to be a part of this, so.
Huh.
Actually, there was just all this stuff kind of builds into itself. And then at the same time, you have doom occurring in the world. You also have, on the Action Comics side, Daily Planet's purchased by this mysterious woman who is also
the Red Mist.
The Red Mist is under her employ. She's not the Red Mist. Two different ladies.
Oh god.
The Red Mist is under employ who Lex Luthor perfected her with his gift in his Dear the Villain, so made her perfect. She's fighting Superman and she's also the one who replaced Lois Lane as a reporter.
Oh.
So, she's kind of like, there's all this stuff, like, this lady's, there's that story's building up there, and it's super intriguing what they're going to be putting in there. So, I'm reading more of that. They introduced this new character, Naomi, which is interesting.
Which is Simone spelled backwards.
She's a child.
That's terrible.
Batman likes her. Batman wants to teach her because she's honest and legit. But the big thing that happened in all of the story was the final decision of what happened with, we have the clandestine organizations going down. That's a big deal in the DC universe. So what's that? Where's Amanda Waller?
Hopefully dead.
Well,
Spiral's the one that Jason Todd used to work for. Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson.
Yeah, and Helena Bertinelli.
Yeah, they were basically the Manhunters.
Right.
They were the big ones, and it's John, a big thing that happened in Lois Lane's life.
Yes.
That was probably the biggest one, is that her dad is dead. He died during the whole Leviathan thing by having a heart attack, and it was pretty, it was kind of like,
Yeah, it gets pretty emotional in the Lois Lane books. It's like a whole book that's just her dealing with her father's death and flashbacks to when she was a kid and rebelling and being, you know, Lois Lane and stuff. But yeah, it was a big thing.
See, and they didn't really touch base on that so much, but they kind of did like her reaction with Supes.
Yeah.
And that, but he's dealing with the outcome of what happened on Rogal Zaar. Because he was trapped in the Phantom Zone. He escaped because Zod knows how to escape. He's done it before. And he's like, so how do you do it? Well, when John returns to the universe that he was in, happens to be where all the forces coming together to fight against Superman's dad, Jor-El, because of his crimes. We'll get to that. And then here comes Rogal Zar and his Phantom Zone army. And so all this chaos occurs, and all this stuff is going on in this massive battle. And we find out, you know, Supergirl also goes off into this Chantit, which we find out Rogal was hired by the Illuminati of the universe. So the head of the Guardians, head of the Thanagarians, head of this other species, this ancient species, this other Tamarinians.
The Starfire's people.
There's this high group of people that had like made the decisions for everybody else, and they had said, no, we're not going to destroy Krypton, but one said yes, and sent Rogal, which we find out Jor-El created.
Oh.
And hired and worked with the syndicate to try to keep them from, like, hey, you know, I've been working with you for this long, why can't you help me with this? And they're like, sorry. You're, you know, basically kind of doing what the Council of Krypton said, like, nope, there's no threat.
Right.
You know, right. But they didn't realize that their one dude was like, yeah, I'm creating a threat here. Well, throughout Supergirl's storyline, she finally faces that dude and defeats him, like, stops him. Nice. Zot with Zar's help. Zar straight up kills him.
Oh.
Kills the guy who sets him on his path. And that kind of ends that one, which sends Kira off on her vengeance, so she's fine until she gets infected.
Yeah.
when she gets infected after she gets asked to join Leviathan. It's all this stuff.
I'm picturing the DC board in my brain.
Like,
right now.
It's all there. Wow. It's all happening at once. I'm like, oh my god, I'm glad I read this.
Yeah, it's hard to follow.
But Zar got tried. The Thanagarians finally are able to capture Zar and all the other ones and Jor-El. And we find out that, you know, Jor-El had sent Zar to kill somebody or kill some other thing for the Council's help. And then the one dude had sent Zar to destroy Krypton because they were afraid of Krypton. And, so that Zar was kidnapped or was basically tried. He's now in jail under Thanagarian. Well, so was Jor-El for his crimes against all the other species. His punishment, his final fate, is real messed up.
Oh.
There's a scene in the beginning of this where you see, they do the flashback to where they're sending Superman off.
Yeah, they do that in Red Sun, yeah.
Yeah, and then he kind of looks back and looks over and he sees this, like, shocked face on Jor-El's face. Well, at the end of the storyline there, we see the other side of it, and it's older Jor-El being teleported back to that point in time.
Oh, really?
Where Krypton dies and basically wiping him out from that point, he gets to go back there. And as he's dying, he goes, your son succeeds. He does, because right before the signing, or right before they had tried him, John and, you know, Superman were all like, yeah, we should all be together, we shouldn't have these secret groups controlling us, we should create this United Planets thing, creating this huge federation, the DC universe, of causing it, you know, the peace day, international peace day. That's why this Legion comes back and says, this is the peace day! This is when the universe comes together. So, but all this comes to come together, and there's still more that is to come, because of the Superman reveal of identity. I haven't read
that
yet. So there's still more of that coming, but
It's all part of the event, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's all part of this coming into it, because it all plays, and even then, they're starting to hint at his reveal, and how they're kind of like, wait, how did this happen? Because they kidnapped Superman at one point. He lets himself be kidnapped.
This is something different.
He likes just telling Lois, like, oh, there's guys in my apartment. I'm going to let them kidnap him. I'm going to let them.
Like,
she's
what?
Like, you're a terrible actor. I'm going to try.
Nice.
It was Superman, but
It was Superman.
There's so much going on, and Bendis is really coming in with the wrecking ball and kind of turning things up. So, we'll see, because now Kandor's back in zombie form. We don't know what's happening elsewhere. Doom.
Because of Batman Superman. Mm-hmm. That was Kandor's stuff.
And then Hell Rising, he's got the rest of the Doom. There's a lot coming on, but it was a lot of fun.
Death Metal is coming up.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, Generation 1.
Oof.
Yeah.
But that's it for us.
Yeah. That was a lot. Yeah, I'm so excited to hear about all of these old things.
Right? Do you have any plans for what you're reading next week?
Not yet. I have Star Pig to read, which is about a giant tergrade in space.
Right.
So there's that with all the Lisa Frank covers. I don't have Battle Pug. There's Flash for me to catch up on. We should have gone in order.
Oh yeah,
but that's fine. It's fine. I feel like there's other things that I could read as well. I do have a trade paperback for Uncanny X-Men. Might switch it up and go Marvel since I did Image this week. I might switch it up and go Marvel next week. I have Star Pig's IDW. So maybe just take a break from DC for a minute, since I don't have any new DC books coming out, which is sad. But it's okay. I'm sure I have other books that I need to catch up on, too.
Right.
What about you, Peachy?
I have some stuff, some back issues that I need to catch up on. Some stuff I might want to reread. Thundercats versus He-Man, or He-Man Thundercats.
But you can't read those. Those are all signed.
I'll be very careful.
Okay.
Do they go hunt Thundercats?
I haven't read.
Yeah, because either they go ho.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of he.
No, I get it. But I haven't read the book yet.
Sorceress!
Dormammu, I have come to bargain.
He-Man.
Sorceress.
What about you, Sudan? Do you have any ideas? Weatherman.
Sonic.
No.
Spawn.
Yeah.
Sonic.
No.
Ninja Turtles.
I saw an ad in my throwaways for Ice Cream Man. Weren't you getting that?
No.
No.
Oh.
It was Weatherman. That you're getting this confused.
Sonic.
No.
Huh.
Cool.
Yeah. So, don't check out your local comic book store.
Well, I mean, still try and support them.
Yeah, do you bet the bet, you know, if you can do online shopping or whatever it is, they need your help. If you get that stimulus, you know.
Yeah. Hit them up.
Yeah, throw a little bit at your local comic book.
Yeah, I might buy a singular wall book in my entire life. I'm looking at that Death in the Family, honestly.
Interesting.
Constantly and wanting to cry.
I thought it was a Crowbar's Chance in Hell you'd get that.
I don't think there's anything else on the wall that I was particularly interested in.
The Justice League, what's got the Captain Fates? What's got the Captain Fates?
Do you know what he's talking about?
Rarely.
It's late.
Yeah, it's a late one tonight.
No, I'm gonna do Weatherman or Sonic.
Cool.
Okay. Good luck.
All right. Well, that's it for us.
Yeah.
You have a quote for us?
I do.
Same social media plugs.
Do we want to do that first? If you don't know where your local comic book store is, go to comicbookstorelocator.com to figure that out, and then give them a call to see if they have, pickup services or
online
services, or if they have, what's that called? Curbside pickup.
Right.
So you can keep your interaction with people to a minimum.
Curbside pickup, keep your human interaction to a minimum. Curbside pickup, leave human interaction to a minimum.
I still quit the band. Check us out on
Stable. No, he didn't do his pick up the books and read them.
That was the support your
yeah, okay.
Stores.
All right, whatever. That's you.
We're all out of whack.
My fault, I'm sorry. I know it's throwing me off pretty bad.
Yeah, check us out on social medias. Peachy King 76, something like that.
Yep.
Oozy Chicken.
No.
Staple Together Pod.
There you go.
That yep. one. Stewed on loose.
Yeah. Yep. So Mike. My quote for today is, train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose.
Nice.
That's from Revenge of the Sith.
That's great.
Yoda says it to Anakin.
Yeah, I should see my secondary news.
Okay. But yeah, that's all we have for today.
Take care of each other, guys.
Wash your hands.
Wash your face.
Just wash everything, honestly. Don't just wash your hands, wash everything.
Wash your face, don't wash your it after.
Wash it after. Wash it after. We'll have you listening next time.
Catch you on the flip.
Huh. Flip flip.
Flip flip.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed this, connect with us on social media, and of course like and subscribe so you don't miss out. Music is brought to you by Kevin McLeod. Find more of his music by visiting EthanPetch.com or clicking on the link in the description. If you want to listen to more, find us on Anchor.fm or website UnstableTogetherPod.wixsite.com and pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts.